I think for me, it always helps to just focus on other people before myself.
Welcome to Hoop Nerds with Billy Kegler, presented by the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. We talk to coaches, athletes, and more to learn from their stories and apply learning lessons to improve each individual and stimulate growth for your program, team, staff, and self. Follow along as we explore success and failure en route to improving the game of basketball.
Coach Barnosky, welcome to the Hoop Nerds.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's dive in and take us back in time. Tell me about the first time you coached something and a story that sticks with you from that experience.
Okay, so the first time I got into college coaching, I thought like going into it, I had a pretty good understanding of what it was going to be. I was at Tufts University Division III school in Massachusetts, and I actually was a captain for 3 years there. So I spent a lot of time in my coach's office. Like, I thought I knew what she was doing. And then once I crossed over the boundary into the real coaching world and I was officially the GA, I was like, wow, this is a lot more work. Like, you're really watching film like all night. Like, this is, it's really a lot of work that you put into it. And it's not to say that I didn't think that she worked hard. Like, I knew that she was working hard, but I think that was like my first impression. I was like, wow, this is really a lot more that you have to put into it. And she's a fantastic coach, so obviously it paid off. But that was definitely like my first impression. Like, okay, I thought I understood what I was getting into, but it's definitely a lot more to it than I originally thought.
Absolutely. So can you walk us through your coaching path to where you are now at the University of Wisconsin with women's team?
Yeah, sure. So I played at Tufts University, had an awesome time there. I really loved Division III student athlete life. It's a great balance, but really competitive. We had a lot of fun, but also a lot of wins. We, you know, went to the NCAA tournament every year and went to the Sweet 16, and it was really like a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my time there. And it's funny talking about my coach, pretty much from like sophomore year on, once I was a captain, she was like, you're going to be a coach one day. And I was like, no, like, that's not for me. Like, I appreciate it, but definitely no. And then like junior year, she's like, you're still going to be a coach. Like, you're going to stick around here. Like, I know it's going to happen. And I'm like, no, like, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a guidance counselor. Like I probably still have, I always love basketball. I still have it in my life, but like, I didn't see it as a thing, like as a career. And then, my junior year, I ended up hurting my knee, hurt my meniscus, and I had to miss the entire season. So I think this is when I really started to maybe not be so quick with that no answer to back to her about the coaching. And I was like, okay, I can actually really see this as a career, and being on the sideline and having to see the game from that perspective, like, really changed things for me. So we decided, okay, I'll come back for my fifth year, play my last year, and then try out coaching the year after that. So it's kind of like, I'll do 2-year master's program, play my last year, and then I'll coach the year after that. So that's what I did. And then the plan, again, because I think I'm stubborn, was still like, after I'm done with my GA, like, I won't be at Tufts anymore. And then we started approaching that, and I just loved the place. I felt like I was learning a ton and given a ton of responsibility. So I was like, can I stay? And so I ended up staying on. I didn't leave Tufts for another 5 years. But then at that point, I was definitely ready for a new challenge and to learn with from someone else. And so I started looking around, but I was definitely like being pretty picky about my next stop. I didn't want to just leave a great situation just to leave. Cause coach, I think, would have kept me forever. If she could. And, I saw Marissa got the job at BU, and the coach I was working for played at UConn. So I knew that she knew her, and I had heard really, really awesome things about Marissa and met her a couple times. I don't think she remembers meeting me, but I was like, oh, okay, that's the UConn assistant. when I saw that she got the job, it was in the same city, but it was like a step up in the Patriot League, but similar situation to Tufts, where it was like high academics and a lot of things like were falling in line. I was like, oh, this actually could be really cool. So Coach Bruby called over to Marissa for me. She got right back to coach in typical Marissa fashion. Called me right away, and she was like, do you want to get dinner tonight? And I was like, what? yes, definitely. So we had dinner, and I was like, is this an interview? She ended up basically offering me the job, so I went to BU with her, which just speaks to kind of how Marissa is. She's such a people person, and we really dove into like who I was as a person and coach in that like 4-hour-long dinner, and the rest is history. So we were as a BU with her, loved it. We, you know, when we took over, kind of a similar spot as we did here at Wisconsin, They were in second to last place in league, and we definitely had our work to do. But then in our third year, we were playing in the Patriot League championship game. Still wish that we won that one. I'm not over that loss just yet. But yeah, so then Wisconsin came calling to Marissa. You know, obviously she had done some great things at BU in 3 years, and thankfully she asked me to come with, and it was kind of a whirlwind. I mean, definitely never imagined that I'd end up here, but I think this career and profession, like, it's all about people, and I found some really good people in my corner, so just really, really grateful to be here. It's a huge challenge, but also a really exciting one. Wisconsin's an amazing place, and we're really confident about where we're going.
All right, knowing Marissa, I'm sure she asked some good questions, so I'm curious, in that four-hour dinner, what's one question she asked you that you recall, and what was your answer to it?
So pretty early on in the dinner, she, like, so I've been dating the same guy for many years, but she pretty quickly was like, are you getting married, or like, do you want kids? Like, she just really dove into it, and I was like, I'm an introvert, and like, it takes me time to warm up, and I was just like, wow, this lady is just going for it. But I think, like, she just really wanted to know who I was. Like, we talked about basketball. We got to basketball for sure. But I think more than anything, she was like, who is this girl? Like, how does she think? Like, what does she want in life? Like, she just, like, really got it, like, the core of me. And I think, obviously it was a great match. We joke, like, towards the end, we finished up dinner, and she's like, do you want to split a dessert? And I was like, I got this job. She wants to split dessert. Like, so it's pretty funny to, like, look back on it now that obviously I've been working with her for 5 years.
Well, they do say opposites attract, right? Introverts and extroverts can balance each other out in life, correct?
Yeah, I think we do balance each other out really well. We work with this company called Profile, and they work with our staff and with our whole team, and they do DISC assessments, but they also look at, like, what motivates you and, like, how you work. And me and her are really different, but, like, a really good compliment. So I think it works out pretty well.
All right. So now that we've gone through your coaching journey, tell me about an idea or a theory that you had early in your career that now, as you have some time under your belt, you've changed that thought.
I think overall, growing up in high school, college, my coaches that I played for were very much defensive focused. And I love basketball like that, but Marissa is a lot more offensive focused, and she loves offense. So she's always thinking about new sets and how can we put our players in the best position to be successful. And she's like, go about offense. And it's not that she doesn't care about defense, but she's just like, offense just really excites her. So like, working for her has been a cool experience in that regard, because, the previous coaches I had played for and worked for, like, were very much like, we're getting stops, and then like, we had offense, like, we worked on offense. It's not like we didn't, but it's just like a very different shift now. And I appreciate both. I think obviously a good balance of both is probably the most successful recipe.
So the most successful teams that you've been a part of, either as a player or as a coach, which side of that fence did those teams hang their hat on?
We had a lot of success at Tufts, and we were really defensive focused. But I think the answer to that is really like the makeup of the players. Like, I think the most successful teams have really gritty, selfless players. That's like who I really like to coach. And I think that if you're bought into like team first, but you still obviously can be an individual and within that. But like, if you're just going to leave it all out on the court every single night, those are for sure the most successful teams that I've coached and been a part of. And I think you can do that on both ends.
So you said gritty, selfless players.
Mm-hmm.
How do you teach selflessness to your players that are on your teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is innate. So it's things that we look for in recruiting, for sure. It's like, how are you getting excited for your teammates' success? Are you picking them up off the ground? Are you still engaged when your team's up 20 and you're on the bench, or when your team's down and you're on the bench? So we definitely really look at that stuff, because I think it's really important. I think some of that is how you were raised and also just who you are innately. So I don't think you can necessarily teach all that, but I think you can teach some of it. I think if you establish like a lot of trust with your players and they believe in what we believe in, and we're pushing them towards goals of, you know, accomplishing team-oriented things, try to put a lot of things on them in practice of, you know, those examples I just used of picking each other up. We want them to get excited for each other's success. We're pointing out not just points scored, but also Natalie Leisinger, for example, does a great job of all the little things, as does Maddie Wilkie, and like getting on the floor and how those hustle plays. So I think it's important to point those things out too. So it's just teaching them that it's not all just about like kind of those big points type of situations in games.
As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just the Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just the Game Impressions and Just the Game Live. Just the Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just the Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just the Game has to offer, check them out at justthegamefieldhouse.com.
All right, so a little earlier you mentioned some of the coaches that you played for and coached with. Can you tell me about one mentor in your life that you've had and a lesson that you learned from them that sticks with you throughout your career and your life?
Yeah. I've talked a lot about Coach Berube. She's probably the most consistent mentor in my life to date. Talk to her all the time. She's just been a great sounding board, and I've learned so much from her. But another mentor I have is Jay Hernandez. He's with the Hornets. So he was my trainer growing up. It's actually really cool because when I started working with him, it was really casual. So I went to a camp and I met him. He was a counselor. And he was just doing some really cool stuff, innovative ball handling drills at the time, and was really trying to get into the player development world before it really even existed. So I started working with him. It was like this old gym. We would be on this back court. I think the hoop wasn't like a real hoop. Like, it was just very like low key. It wasn't like the flashy, what you think of player development now, like these nice facilities and whatnot. But I started working with him in eighth grade and just developed like a really good bond with him. But something I learned from him is like every time I showed up to a workout, he just like was so excited to see me and just wanted to instill so much confidence in me and what I was doing. He does that with all his players. Someone walks through the door, like he makes them feel important and he's happy to see them. And, I think like it just like instantly shifts, like whatever, you know, whether you're excited to get to the workout or not, like you leave kind of the rest of the stuff at the door when you see him, because he's just so excited to get going. And then a big thing is he would be teaching some really cool stuff, but I mean, his messaging was always like, it doesn't matter what we do in this hour if you don't go home and practice this. And I think that's something I take every single day. It's like, yeah, we have these individual workouts that we do with the players and we're working with them all throughout the season. But at the end of the day, like, are you going to get the extra reps in and do this on your own?
All right, there's two things I need to pull out of there. The first one is leaving things at the door. So let's say you're having a bad day, bad news, things just aren't going right. You walk in the gym. What's your trick to get yourself in a mental space to leave it at the door and bring the positivity into the gym for your players?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's always helps to just focus on other people before myself. So I'm having a bad day, or I'm fresh off a red eye from whatever state recruiting. I'm really tired, but I have to like shift my mind and just focus on the players and the staff. And it's like, it's not about me, it's about them. And I think just putting that attention on to other people like always helps me just instantly shift. Like, okay, let's go. And I just get really excited to be there.
All right. So you mentioned Jay and innovative and creative with the drills he had. And it's a little bit different in the world you're in because you have skill development, but you also have the team aspect of it. So how do you keep your players engaged with creative and innovative drills, but also remove the fluff so there's things that are applicable to the game? What's your process to make sure that you're having both worlds?
Yeah, for sure. I think I want our workouts to always be like the individual workouts to always be fun, but they have to be really hard and they have to be playing at game speed, everything that we do. So actually, I still use some of the drills he did. When I say innovative, he wasn't the guy with like some of the stuff you see on like Instagram now. Like he wasn't doing stuff that didn't make any sense. But he was doing some really cool ball handling drills, like Kemba Walker and Steph Curry do similar type of ball handling drills now. So I actually do incorporate some of that stuff. It's just like fun stuff, gets kids going and kind of gets you a quick sweat to start the workout. But then I think we always have to incorporate, specific plays and specific skill sets from our offenses and things that we're working on in a team setting. It's like, okay, how can I take that and break that down? Okay, how can I work on this ball coming off this ball screen and the reads that we most frequently see? So I think, you know, you want to have fun with it, but at the same time, it has to be really, really applicable to what we're doing.
All right, I'm going to pin you down on this one. What's one thing from Instagram you've seen that just didn't make sense? And tell me why.
Oh, man, you've seen some good stuff on there.
I think of Dame Lillard with the tennis racket and the ball handling. Obviously, he was making a mockery of it. But there's things that you see that someone has envisioned that this is going to be helpful because it's making you work in multiple directions or use your brain in different directions at the same time. But how is that transferring to the court?
I feel like I've seen like blindfolds on players, and it's like, yes, like if you have a feel for the game, like because your eyes are closed, but like that's not how you play basketball. And like just, yeah, a lot of tennis balls, like it's like at the end of the day we play with a basketball. I think you can incorporate a tennis ball into certain things, but it was like that's the focus. I mean it's a very different ball that we play with, like
beautiful.
So you see some funny stuff on there. I mean, I think if you're getting kids excited to be at the workout, like obviously that's great and they're having fun with it, but I think it has to be, you know, it has to make sense for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So you mentioned recruiting and getting back on a red eye. So if you could ask a recruit only one question, what would that question be?
So my go-to lately has been, what do you love most about basketball? I don't know if I only had one question, if that's what I'd go with, but I just think it gives really good insight to who the kid is, how they are as a competitor. Like, do they jump right to, oh, coach, I love competing? Or do they go to, I love being around other people, making friends? Those are two different types of players. I think they both can exist. I love the social aspect of team sports, and my best friends from right now are still like my teammates from the past. But if you don't ever mention winning or competing or, you know, something like that, I start to like want to ask follow-up questions because that's something that we're really, really looking for.
All right. So since you mentioned competing and you hit a trigger word for me, when you're competing, whether it's on the recruiting trail, maybe in practice or playing checkers, are you driven by the fear of losing or the joy of winning that competition?
Great question. I think it's a combination, probably definitely more though, the fear of losing. Like I just hate to lose. So I'm going to do everything in my power to prepare, to make sure the team is prepared to just avoid getting close to losing. If we are not even close to losing, because I've done everything I can, then I'm going to be enjoying the joy of winning.
Awesome. Non-basketball related question. Okay. If you could obtain one superhero power, what superhero power would that be and what would you do with it?
I'm going to say if I could stop time, if I could pause things for a second, but then I'm still working with time, like, all right, I don't like how this possession is going. I'm going to freeze it real quick. I'm going to regroup us. No, you're actually supposed to be in that corner. Or defensively, please get to help side. Or in real life, obviously, like it doesn't always have to be just basketball, but if I could just pause time for a second and kind of regroup and then get it how I want it, I think that'd be a pretty cool power.
All right. So since you're knocking these out of the park, one more question, non-basketball related. Imagine you're in front of a refrigerator and you open that door and you look inside of it. What one item inside that refrigerator best identifies with who you are as a person and why?
I like this question. I might start stealing this one for recruits, honestly. I would say I am ketchup. I am a very solid condiment. Most people like it. I'm going to go with a lot of different things. I'm not going to overpower the eggs or the burger. I'm just going to be a really nice compliment. And just a steady, you know, steady compliment to whatever the main meal is. I think that kind of describes who I am. But, you know, you can't go wrong with ketchup. Everyone's got ketchup in their fridge.
I love it. And eggs on ketchup is a discussion for another day with Coach Pronoski.
I should have seen that coming. You need ketchup on your eggs. It just,
I had pepper, a pretty amazing breakfast burrito this morning with no ketchup. So we're going to have to debate on this.
All right, on burgers, on, I mean, anything. Ketchup is just great.
Are you having ketchup with your steak?
Ooh, no. Unless it's very poorly cooked or seasoned steak. And at which that point, I might be offending the cook by asking for ketchup. So probably not.
Okay. Well, Coach Pronoski, thanks for coming on the Hoop Nerds and sharing with us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I'm very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at Dr. Dish B-Ball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase.